quickly, when I started the topic of Double Dominion, talking about Kelah Tira, the idea of the din is, when a Chachamim, usually we say that the din is the following. When a Chachamim introduced a Zera Rabbah, this is on Dat Hayom and Aleph, right in the middle of the Zayin. When a Chachamim introduced a Zera in the Rabbanon, that was Minha Torah, this is something that is permissible. The Rabbanon, they want to forbid Lina, so that's not a good reason why they want to forbid it. Some of them decide they don't like it, so they say they're going to be foolish, so they're not allowed to change the reason they're out. That's not a good reason why they want to make it clear to the Rabbanon. They have to make it clear to the Rabbanon for reason X, Y, Z. Let's say a few years passed by, 200 years passed by. And the reason for the clear to the Rabbanon no longer applies. So he is saying that once the reason for the thing the Rabbanon falls away, the whole thing the Rabbanon falls away. And he's saying, no, once the Chacham made it clear that the Eastern remains until, unless you have a bezin of a later generation, you can feel that Chacham. So that's what this phrase means. But Dovashir Minyan means, if the Rabbanim go together and vote on something, they were under the Minyan. That's what we pointed out. There's two different expressions of Dovashir Minyan. The Gemara had on a previous doubt, there's a Dovashir Minyan meaning a different thing. Let's say, there's a cup of tracer tea that's mixed up with 50 cups of kosher tea. And you can't identify which of these. You won't taste it, then you won't smell it, then you'll look at the label because you can't tell the difference. So I know that one is tracer and the other is kosher. If they sell each cup of tea individually, they don't sell it by the weight, and they don't sell it from a whole box full. If they sell each cup of tea individually, that's considered a Dovashir Minyan. A Dovashir Minyan is not bought. So the phrase Dovashir Minyan appeared earlier on January days in a completely different context. And that's where there was a slight confusion of two. Right, that's something that's straight and gets mixed in the talud and other things that are kosher and you can't identify it, but normally it comes from the Shishim or from the Barov. Unless it's such a thing that you always sell piecemeal, individually, you don't sell it a whole bunch altogether. Then it maintains its uniqueness and it maintains the identity and it doesn't come off the road. This is a different notion of meaning. And Rabbi Amaral, we're talking about a completely different topic. If you had a Xeris of Rabbanon, which was in the Gemara, that's the expression that the Gemara has. The rabbis sat and they discussed an issue and they voted, let's say, 100 rabbis, and they voted, and it was 75 to 25, and they enacted a certain Xeris of Rabbanon. But they had to have a reason. So even if it comes 100 or 200 years later, the reason no longer applies, the Xeris of Rabbanon is forever. The Gemara explains that you shouldn't think that this idea that the Xeris Rabbanon applies even though the reason doesn't apply is only on a level of Dinim de Rabbanon, only on a level of the rabbinical enactment. The Gemara says no, that this is called the Tikkun Rabbanon, change around the Tikkun. This is patterned after the Din de Raisa because the Din HaTorah is there. Whenever you have a Din de Raisa given for a specific reason, even if you know clearly what the reason is, and the reason does, and it comes a generation and the reason doesn't apply. Take for example, the Rambam writes in the Mir of the Ruchan, in the third section of the Mir of the Ruchan, he gives you different reasons for various reasons. So he says that the reason why there is a business meat is there is non-kosher fish, non-kosher animals, he says that there are not. Trichinosis, you're not allowed to eat the pork because of trichinosis. But then you go to the A&T, and the pork packages, it says that if you cook it to a certain high degree temperature, there's no hashash, you won't get trichinosis. So then it should say, well, since the reason for the whole deal doesn't apply. The Rambam says that that's the reason for the deal. But the reason for the deal doesn't apply, if the deal doesn't apply, there should be looked at because to that deal. So the Gemara has a machlokes hatana, whether that's so or not. Whenever you have a din in the Torah, whether it's a mitzvah tasei or a mitzvah shloi tasei, whether it's a mitzvah that you're supposed to do, or an aver that you're forbidden to do, and you can figure out what the reason is, and you determine that in a certain given case, the reason doesn't apply, so would you say, Darshin on time is wrong? The Gemara has a dispute between Abshimin and the Chachamim. Abshimin means Abshim Baichol, the Gemara wrote the Zohar. The Shimba Yichoy is of the opinion that the reasons for the mitzvahs are very, very significant. And the truth, the reason, time of the crawl, the reason for a mitzvah has the status of a drasha. Everybody agrees that it's important to try to figure out the reasons for the mitzvah. The Gemara has a different place, the Gemara says, why does the Torah say that a Gana pays keso and a Gazlon does not pay keso? Why is there a difference between stealing a shor as opposed to stealing a debt? If you steal a shor and you shecht it and later on you pay, Misha Gopi Shalom Tachatosho, the Agra Tom Tachatosho, you steal the Bein Adaka, then it pays out Gop. Why is it the only Dachat on the border? Why don't you wipe it out? The Gemara gives various reasons for various reasons. Everybody agrees that it's meaningful and significant to try to understand time of the crow. Why did the Rabbanishon give us these reasons? What are the nitzvahs? What ethical, moral, religious, or ecological principles, the philosophical principles, the Torah teaches by these Dini Hatzer? What is the message that's giving us? Everybody agrees that you're supposed to try to figure out the reason for the mitzvah. You have the Sefer Achira gives you reasons for the mitzvah. And the issues for they have Amash here, they have many followers, they try to get the leak all over, Hashem, everybody has different reasons for their reasons. But the Tanoim have a dispute whether Dashin and time is wrong. We have youth given leader Shatan and Dashin time. We have techniques. How to darshan out additional demons. Russia is a technical term. He says if it's Russia, means they are Putin. Means when you read the text of the Chumash, you get one picture. Says that that's the root. When you know how to read the extra word, an extra word is an extra letter, there's a qualified cloud, there's a binyanah, there's a gershavah, there's a kalachemah, there's a mamatim, all various leaders shall turn in Russian stand to derive from the text of the Chumash additional demons. To the dispute between a Shimon and a Chachamim and a Chloikis HaTamayim. Whether Darshin on time and the Kroh means, everybody is supposed to figure out reasons for the mitzvah, time and the Kroh. But should you, do you have the right to treat the time and the Kroh, the reason for the mitzvah, as a drosha? Is that one that Yiddish HaFan the drosha is there? Or is it not a drosha? It will not regulate the applicability of the mitzvah HaSer. The mitzvah will apply, and the Yisurim will apply, whether the reason will apply or not. For example, if someone had a dispute regarding the din of Lefdach or Beged Amon, that if you lend money to an Amon or to a widow, so you lend a fortune of money, you're afraid that she may not pay back. So you say, you only want to lend her the money. She'll give you a mashka. So she has a diamond ring. She got married to her husband. Now she's a widow. She got married years ago. The husband gave her a big diamond ring. And said, let me find that money. Give me a diamond ring. Here's a mashka. Take it to her. Right. I don't want to lend my money and lose the money away. So I can demand a mashka. Am I permitted to demand the mashka on a dress of her? Or pajamas or something. So because it's a dachal beggar on money. You're not allowed to take a mashkin, a beggar of an omar. So the Gemara says, what's the reason for that? The Gemara says, it's obvious the reason for that. The woman lost her husband, and she used to be married, so it's time she's interested in another husband. So if you're going to lend her money, she's going to give you a dress and a mashkin. So the Torah says she may need the dress in the daytime. So you have to knock on her door at 7 o'clock in the morning when she wakes up in the morning. 6:30, whenever she wakes up, take a shower, to get dressed, to go to work, or whatever. You have to knock on her door, give it back her dress. In the morning, you have to give it back the dress in the evening. So then you have right there, so not a mashka, but she'll give you the pajamas, which is 6 in the morning. Then when it comes to drug pocket market, she needs the pajamas back. So you have to give it back to the pajamas. So you come and knock on her door, and give it back to the pajamas, you give it back the dress. The neighbors are going to be watching. The guy knocks on the door at 6 o'clock, walking away with the pajamas, and then 12 o'clock at night, walking away with the jet. The Gemara says, all the neighbors are going to start to fool. Look what's going on. The husband died. He's having an affair with somebody else. So the Tanoim has to dispute, what is Mr. and Mrs. Gimel? And Mr. Gimel passes away. Mrs. Gimel is a multi-millionaire. She has one actual money. So she wants to borrow $25 million from Mr. Mace. Yeah. Someone else who has money. So he says, okay, I'll lend you the money, but I want the mashka. She says, fine, I'll give you $5 million worth of dresses. And here are the dresses. She gives him dresses from people. Oh, no, she has dresses. Now, he's not going to have to give back these dresses over the night, take back the pajamas and come to mindset. The whole reason for the din doesn't apply. So the question is, do you say that things, and that's obviously the reason for the din. Only says, say the reason. If you more than time, you think that's obviously the reason for the din. So the timeline had a dispute. Whether the din applies is only the tzachmo begging on money. You're not permitted to take a mashkin from an amon. There's only amon or aniyo. Only if she's a poor amon. You have to give back the dress and take the dijam, give back the dijam, take back the dress. The whole chagadi. So the reason for the din applies, namely, atom asti Hashem rabbi shem esteh. You're going to cause her to have a bad reputation among the neighbors. And she just said that even if the woman is an amon ashira, the reason, and that is the reason, but the reason doesn't apply. Still, the Torah says it didn't, because it didn't apply to the reason of the law. So that's the original dispute. That's the Mishnah involvement here. And that's the original machlokes between Shimon and Achachamim. Shimon says that prohibition against the Sakhal, the Ramon, taking a mashkin from a widow only applies if she's Ali, if she's poor. And we talked to Achachamim, that even though it's a nice thing to give reasons to the Mishnah Sakhalim, and the law that we should learn moral, ethical, religious principles, whatever, but still, it's not on the level of Russia. It's not called Dashin. It's not in the Yiddish Hatayin of Russia. So the Gemara says that that is the Araita. That's a point of Shimon. It could well be that you would be submitted to E4 if you would follow the instructions on the package in the AP. If you would assume that
Sorry, it doesn't say what the reason is why he decided to take that dress from an alumni either. If I call him to tell. No, no, that says in the Torah, that's why you have to give it back to the pajamas, it's not you have to give it back to the dress of the deck and the shenitas. If she needs that, says the reason why you have to give it back, because they need the dress and they need the pajamas. But it doesn't say in the Chumash that the reason why it's prohibited to take as an ashkenaz clothing from the widow is because of Masi Hashem Rashan, the other thing. The Gemara says that the Tanaim assumed that must be the reason for it. And the Tanaim, based on their reasoning, Rav Shimon says he thinks that that's pretty conclusive reason, and therefore whatever the reason doesn't apply, the whole thing doesn't apply. We happen not to pass like Rav Shimon, because if they would have done like Rav Shimon, we could streamline the whole family. That's what the reform pass like Rav Shimon. Okay, reform movement, the family pass like Rav Shimon, the pass like it. The family they hold that the reason for trick here, the reason for form, the trick and the reason for this, the reason for that, whenever the reason don't apply, the deal is on the ground part, we call it that third one. And we don't pass like that. We pass like that. So why not get a family
group?
Is that the reason?
That's all one reason.
What?
But they have shown me why that if there's another reason that there might be two reasons, you can't really be a problem.
Hmm? Okay.
So therefore, the number one that is one reason, but there are other reasons for it.
Okay. Okay. It doesn't matter though, because we don't pass like a shim anyway.
Right.
We don't follow this. Okay. So now the Gemara, So now the Gemara says that this cloud of Dovishim, minion, stuff in Yerachal HaTiro, you shouldn't make a mistake and think that it only applies on the level of the Rabbanim. If the Rabbanim were minions of Gomorrah, if they voted and they enacted a prohibition, the reason X, Y, Z, and it comes to generation, when the reason doesn't apply, this Din Rabbanim still applies, it's not only a cloud on the Din Rabbanim. The Gemara says the Din Rabbanim is pattern after the Din Rabbanim. How do you know? I'm Rav Yosef, you know I mean Allah. How do you know that such a cloud exists? Before Maamar HaSinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Jewish people that they're not permitted to be together with their wives. Why? Because it's understood that at the time of the Jewish king, originally it's interesting, if you read the Chumash in Parshat Yitro, read the Chumash slowly, with the Chumash Rashi and the Chumash, usually the Maamar says it very quickly, something what Maamar says, something what not Maamar says. But they go through the Sedra, every week, trying to make a letter back. Some people have the Sedra, they gobble it up, they gobble it down while the Balkari is waiting, so they wait very quickly, so you don't notice what's going on. If you read the Parsha slowly and carefully, Parsha Yisrael, it says as follows, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's original plan was to appear at Har Sinai and speak to Moshe Rabbeinu in the presence of the Jewish people. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Moshe Rabbeinu to deliver the message to Moshe. He delivered them the message, and then Rashi quoted from the message, that they gave back a message to Pharaoh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we would prefer, Kalneinu Liris Es Malkeinu, we would prefer that instead of HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to you, in our presence, you should speak to us. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, and actually put words into the bones from HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, in case, it's so, that you want me to speak to you, not that I should speak to Moshe Rabbeinu, in the presence of the Israel, I should speak to them, then you have to go to Mitzvah and Mitzvah. Whoever the Shekhinah is speaking to has to be in the state of fire. That the Shekhinah would have addressed itself, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have addressed itself to Moshe Rabbeinu, and today's world would be watching, our kind of television would be watching, so we wouldn't have to have gone to Mikvah at the time of Maamar HaSinai. But because we suggested a different pattern, we preferred that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should speak directly to us, rather than to Moshe Rabbeinu, so Rashi quotes in the Medrash came, that they must speak to me, they demanded me that I should speak to them, then go tell them that they have to go to Mikvah, because it's required that the one who speaks to the Shekhinah should be and the state of seriousness. Other forms of tumor wouldn't really bother us so much. Maybe someone would be a tumor mate, and touch the sheriff, we got a tumor from some other source, doesn't bother us, a zav, and so the other forms of tumor are not serious. But the tumor of a balkari, or a poletiship, or the man who becomes tumor at the time that he has intercourse with his wife, or the woman who becomes tumor and loses intercourse with her husband, as a poletiship of Zera. So those forms of tumor is karma, they lightheadedness, and they, being in a state of joy and happiness and so on, so at the time of Maamar HaSinai, the Torah is supposed to be transmitted in a state of seriousness, their seriousness. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if they want me to speak to them, so the men and the women have to abstain from being together for 3 days. What's the significance of 3 days? As far as the men are concerned, they should really just abstain the day before, go to Mikvah, and have higher shemesh, and then they'll be ready for So Maimon HaTzina the very next day. However, the women, the problem is always with the women. The women, that's the problem. The Gemara says, the Shabbat is that the women make the trouble over here. That a woman who has tashmish with her husband can be mayor because of that intercourse, she can be mayor up until 3 days after. Why? At the time that she's polet the Shechazera. When the Shechazera leaves, when the semen that came from the husband's body is leaving the woman's body, when it rolls out of her body, so a little bit rolls out the first day, a little bit the second day, a little bit the third day, and it's leaving her body, every time it leaves, when she's polessed, when it leaves the body, it is metameh her. And that's why the Torah requires 3 days. And Gemara has a whole discussion about that. How do you know that polessed shechazer is up until 3 days? It's a thing that's relevant for us also, it's not like that. There's certain things that it says leader, why you require that before the woman can begin to count shivin akim, 5 days have to elapse. So 5 days is based on a stretching out of 3 days. So we're not concerned how you take 3 days and maybe it's a 5 days. Not easy. Basically 3 days. The 3 days could be, if the woman has tashmish in the middle of the day, so the 3 days, 3 days means 72 hours. The 72 hours can take up 4 days on the calendar. So you knock off 4 days. I knock off 5 days. So this is a lot worse than happens. How to make 4 days into 5 days. Oh, that's right. That's why when a scholar, when a girl gets married, right, so then you chisel off, you make it on that. It only requires, after she's the first time she goes to mitzvah, after she got married, when it's only done the students, it's not really done either. So you chisel off, so you make it. It's only 4 days for the shivan shivan. You don't need 5 days. It's only need 5 days and then the shivan shivan. It's 7 days in. So that's all based on this. There's a time of Magan Hashina, so his daughter said they have to abstain from being with their wives for 3 days in advance. It wasn't because of the men. The men, they go to Mikva right away. They'll become half higher Shemesh, and they'll be able to have Kabbalah Sater the very next minute. But it's because of the women. That's how the Gemara is called. So the Torah requires, I'll teach you Alisha. And it's understood. It doesn't say how long I'll teach you Alisha, but it's understood that the Jewish people are not going to be by the going now, I think it's a big madrega to abstain, to be celibate. So it's like the galochim. But we don't have such a thing. The rabbis, why not? Everybody has to have an interest in marriage. So what, so would anybody understand our picture of Isha Leon? No, we understand on our own that this is given because Mama has seen us. And so we should have understood on our own that after the Gila Shin, after Mama has seen us was over. So this prohibition ceases to exist. And the Chumash doesn't leave it like that. The Chumash tells the name from after Kabbalah Sater is all over. It says, Lechem or Lechem, go tell the Jewish people, Shuvah Lechem, you know, Lechem, and Beitu Zewishto, which Rav has a common comment. Beitu Zewishto, so all hell is the same as Beitu, means everybody, not everybody can go back to their tent. So it's a nice way of saying everybody's permitted to go back to their wives now. The prohibition of Asikshu Alisho no longer applies. So Rabbi Yosef points out, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to tell the name Yisrael? But if the Magen HaSinai is over, that prohibition of Asikshu Alisho ended, it should be self-understood. All reasons for the prohibition was, the original plan of Magen HaSinai was going to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu in the presence of the name Yisrael, that is, they would not have to go to this. So why did he change the plans in the middle? Because we asked him to change it so that he should speak to us directly. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, if Zoyim came, Shatam Askikim Oki, the Dabar Aleh, and he wants me to speak to you directly, so then you have to go to Mikri, you have to stay. So it's understood that after Magen HaTzina is over, so finished, so it should be Mutter. So why did he have to tell him explicitly, Shuvah Lachem Li Aleh? So that's a riot, that there is such a principle. But it's only the minion whenever, on the level of the rightness, whenever there is an issue, even though it's clear what the reason for the issue is, and even though the reason no longer applies, the issue itself is still applies. In other words, Rabbi Yosef is proving that we don't pass like a shimon. The dispute between a shimon and a rabbanon. Whether it's a shimon time of the Kruah, later a shimon time of the Kruah, I know what the reason for the din is, and I know that the reason no longer applies. All the rabbanon will swear up and down, this is the only reason for the din, and that the reason no longer applies. Will the din continue to apply? Like I said, it's not the tongue, that it no longer applies. The Gemara in Shabbos talks about how much the Kodesh Baruch Hu did and how much the Moshe Rabbeinu had. No, no, that's the question. How long the Brahma Kalevish is there? That's a different thing. Okay, he wanted more Achon. He didn't add on after. He added on in advance.
just like an offer of money for right now. That's why this is given to us today.
Yes, in my long discussion, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell him? What did he have? Did he have something? So the Gemara here, Rav Yosef, is proving that we don't pass the Lekar Shimon, but we pass the Lekar Darshin and Tainan Ikor, even though we know clearly the reason for the din. And we know clearly that the reason no longer applies, the din still applies. The Yoyner, he quotes another prohibition. There was another prohibition at the time by Maimon HaSinai. Rabbi Goren climbed up on Mount Sinai and blew a shofar in How is he allowed to climb up? The answer is that it's understood. Better to climb up on Mount Sinai. It's understood that that prohibition only applies because Mount Sinai was there, building up to Mount Sinai, to the Shina. And after Mount Sinai, after the first year was over, so the Shina went away, or the Shina was there until Yom Kippur, maybe. And before Shavuot, it was until Yom Kippur, when the Moshe Rabbeinu came down to the second world, however long it was, but after the Shina disappeared, so it's understood that there's no longer prohibition to climb up on Mount Sinai. And even though it's understood, the Chumash spells it out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the Mishaykh HaLev Olehem HaYal HaBohar. After the Gidushin will be over, we'll blow Shofar, we'll stop blowing Shofar, and whether you translate the Pasuk, and then everyone is permitted to climb up on Har Sinai. So why does the Torah have to give a Hefer that the Rabbi Goren can climb up on Har Sinai? We can understand on our own. The whole prohibition was, it was always Musa to go on Har Sinai. The Rabbi Shalom only forbade him from going to Har Sinai. He needed to try to mine Har Sinai because the Shina was there. So it's not proper to people. Not from Har Sinai. After the Shina was nostalgic, after the Shina goes away, so it's understood that it's permissible to climb. So why does it have to say explicitly that it's explicitly stated? Even though you know that the reason for the issue, you know that the reason no longer applies, the issue still applies unless you have a Beferi Shapati that it's Muslim. And then this Tanya, or it's not. And we have a Mishnah that not only is true on the level of the Raisa, we say, call the Tikkun Rabbanon, gain the right to Tikkun. And the Rabbanon introduced a Gzeira, or a Takana, for a specific reason, and we know that the reason no longer applies, the Gzeira, the Rabbanon still applies, unless we have a later basis to repeal that initial enactment. So the Mishnah quotes an example. Kerem Revai. What's the Dinah Kerem Revai? If a person has a person planted the tree, there's no Chumash. When the commentary is thrown, he plants a tree, so the fruits that grow the first 3 years may not be the Rosh Ba'achilo and the Rosh Ba'amlo. That's called Orlo. That didn't even apply in America. That applies all over the world. That's called Orlo B'chutlo. Orlo in America is where it is explicit from the Chumash. It says, he's a boy of Oros and a type in Kol Eishmai. So if somebody eats the fruits of the tree the first 3 years that grew in America, he gets mouthy. If you eat the fruits that grow B'chutlo, let's say I plant an apple tree, I plant a pear tree. So the first couple of years it doesn't go so well anyway. But let's say something does grow, the first 3 years. But let's say you're replanting a tree already is a fully grown tree, and I take it from one place and I plant it in another place. So the thing is, when I plant it anew, you have to start counting the 3 years all over again, and it will give more fruit. Already a big old tree, it will give fruit. But then it's prohibited to take those fruits. So those fruits that you eat, chutzlaret, since that's not explicit in the Chumash, for that you wouldn't get malchus to learn. You only get malchus if you eat all of them out of the Torah. If you eat all of them, chutzlaret, it's only halacha l'moshe nisinai. It's not explicit in the Chumash, the Gemara says that it's within the right, and it's only halacha l'moshe nisinai. So for that, there's no malchus. Yes, even if it belongs to the Torah. But the Shabbos, how can you go shopping in the store? Maybe the fruits that they're selling you are prohibited. So in Eretz Yisrael, you start to have a big problem. You're only permitted to buy fruits if you know that they're not horrible. You have to have a hashgacha where they check into that to make sure that they're not selling horrible. The chutzlaret, the Mishnah says, Doc, it's all over chutzlaret is Muslim. Since it's only halacha l'moshe nisinai, even if you don't have a rate, even if the rate is l'chumra, even if the odds are that it is over, still the din of any stuff is kach, the Gemara says kach nema halacha. That's where the halacha l'moshe nisinai was formulated, that it's not the government chutzlaret is Muslim. The shayla on the papaya, all papaya, papaya is a tree. Yes, they only sell the pine that it's only good for eating the first 3 years.
It's
a tree. Bush is also a tree. Bush is also berries, let's say. Berries are not a bush. Bananas is a machlokes. Bananas are machlokes whether it's a tree or a vegetable. Whether you say work out on the grassy way. Why? Because the roots of the banana, the more Rabbis gives you the definition of what's a tree in contrast with what the fruit of the vegetable. So the more says that a tree, I'll be doing, hey, if it grows in the same thing from 1 year to the next, then you won't have to plant it again. So the shadow of the banana tree is, and Shekhanah describes it, it's like this, that the roots stay in the ground, together, but the whole tree pulls down. And then the years ago, when I was about 10 years clear from the yeshiva, they said, you didn't believe it. The whole banana tree thought it was a problem. At that time, they were teaching it in biology or something. But he had somebody who thought, botany, whatever, that they should do him a favor. Plant the banana tree. So he said, he did it, planted the banana tree. And the whole tree fell down. So the only thing that left was the root. All the branches fell down. And then next year, everything grew up again without planting it again. So that's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. It was a drop. And it was a solo. Whether a banana tree or kayotzeh or similar things, that you don't have to plant it again. The roots under the ground will stay there for years and years. But the branches where the fruits come out from fall down and then they grow again. Is that called a tree or not? Is there a prohibition of wrong or not? So Mitzvah, whether you say Goritu, Hoyta, Goritu, Adama, so the Shulchan Aruch says it. Yes, it's kind of right in the Shulchan Aruch. It gives you a Spanish word for fruit. And the Spanish Rabbanim, Rabbi Lagi, you're saying, when the other Spanish Rabbanim say that, that's called banana. That's the Spanish word for banana. So the Kabbalah says that on that kind of a tree, not a banana, you say Goritu, Adama. Because if by mistake you said Goritu, Hoyta, on a vegetable, you're not yet. If by mistake you said Goritu, Adama, on a fruit, you are yet to, because it also grows from the ground. So whatever you're in doubt, whether you should say Hoyta, Adama, then you say Adama. So you say, why should you jump to say Shahakal? Why should you say Shahakal? You said the Bracha that years in before you had a more detailed Bracha. So that shot of that banana, whether banana is often been treated as a tree, or as a vegetable, but have an opinion whether the din of Arva applies to bananas. Let's see, I don't know what the facts are. Does the banana tree give forth edible bananas the first 3 years? If it would be in America, if it would grow anywhere, South America, anywhere in the world, outside of America, we would treat that as a selfish Arva b'chutzlar. So we would say that it's Muslim. But a banana tree that grew in Eretz Yisrael, that would already be a selfish Arva b'chutzlar of Eretz Yisrael. But that would be awesome. Even though you say Barfi Hadama bananas where you eat them in Eretz Yisrael or Chutzlar, it's a different thing because in Stokic when you say Hadama, so we would probably say Hadama. So in Stokic Karmel, so we say Stokic Karmel in Eretz Yisrael should be, and Stokic Karmel Chutzlar is Muslim. So the papaya, the story is, the papaya, the branches, apparently that's the way they describe the branches, stay from year to year. The roots stay from year to year, the branches, everything stays from year to year. The only thing is that the whole thing only lives for 3 years. It doesn't have an arichas yom. It doesn't ask for more than that. But this was an oldest view from the 1300s. Earlier, the 1200s. Whether when the Torah describes the din of Arba, the Torah says you plant the tree, and the first 3 years you don't eat it, and then the fourth year we're going to discuss how the din of Revai, and then from the fifth year on you can eat it, you don't have and no restrictions, do whatever you want. What if you have a tree that doesn't live so long? The whole life of the tree is only 3 years, doesn't live so long. The whole group of Rishayim said that then the whole thing of Arba doesn't apply. The Torah doesn't forbid us from eating the tree. Period. I trade the tree. You can never eat the fruit from the tree. It's understood that the whole thing of Arba doesn't apply. And it did not stop. That's what? The tree that only has a life of 3 years. It's only forbidden to eat the fruit. So this is an old number. In the Achrayim quotes in the days of the Arizal, in the 1500s in Tzvah, they had these kind of fruits that were similar to the papaya. Because the whole tree only lasted, it was a different tree. It wasn't a papaya, it was a different one, but it was the same description of a tree. It only lasted for 3 years. And then it said, the whole thing fell apart, didn't get any fruit there for 3 years. So there's a machlokes about that. And the Arizal, outside the town, all the holy Mekubon, they used to eat the fruit in the first 3 years. So they held that it was mutter. And that's what we assumed about Rav and Shimon. So a papaya could flow, we certainly said it's mutter. The most it could be is a double bowl of mutter. And even in Eretz Yisrael, we don't really treat papaya as a topic of the so we should be talking about it, we're talking about it. So again, the first 3 years it is a din of Arba, that the fruits that grow on the tree are also by Hila and also by Ma. They borrow the din of the fourth year, the Torah has a din that whatever grows on the tree in Eretz Yisrael, it says in the Chumash, in Eretz Yisrael, you have to bring to Yerushalayim And eat the parents there, the Kedusha of the Tahara. And eat the parents in the Yerushalayim, the Kedusha of the Tahara. What do you mean, the Kedusha of the Tahara? Tahara means that you have to be Tahara and the parents have to be Tahara. So the Rishonim say that the man is there, we are unable to fulfill this din. We cannot take the parents, the parents that go to 40 and bring them to Yerushalayim and eat them. The two reasons, number one, we are Tahara. And number two, all the parents are Tahara. Everybody's Tahara. Whenever you touch a fruit, then the fruit becomes Tahara. Unless the fruit was never in store. The fact that it rains on the fruit while they're attached to the ground is not much of a problem. If the fruits are detached from the ground, if they're detached, if you never wash them off, then they're not, then they won't be tummy. Parents, food is not a kabbalah, unless the first push of the kabbalah. It is rinsed off with one of the Zayin mashkin, through the water of one of the Gerdesit mashkin, and then if I'm tummy, or the other tummy came in contact with. If the fruits were never this moves, I mean, we are telling you. Most of the time, the fruits were also in we cannot eat Nazir Ravine, Aristotle, Bismana, and Yushalai, Bismana, because of tuna. What do you mean, Big Dusha? You have to eat the Nazir Ravine, Big Dusha, with the Tahara. Big Dusha means, the Gemara has a drush in Rahman, that Tama. You're only permitted to eat Nazir Ravine, Bismana, Shayesh, Mizbeh, Bondi. If you don't have a Mizbeh, and a Beis HaMikdash, then you're not permitted to eat Nazir Ravine, and Yushalai. Even though you're not eating any Beis HaMikdash. Karbonis, some kosher kosher have to be eaten in the Yazor. Only the Kohanim can eat chatos and asher, and have to eat it in the Yazor. Chatos and asher, we understand. You have to eat it in the Yazor. And the Shari can eat the Beis HaMikdash, and you're only permitted to eat. The Kohanim are only permitted to eat the chatos and the asher. If the Beis HaMikdash is the Dinyanai, and the Mizbeach is Bani, the Mizbeach is there. But what about kosher talim? Other Karbonis that are shlovim, you don't eat it in the Beis HaMikdash. So is that also restricted? You can only eat Kodshim Kalim in Yerushalayim with Manshah on the Mizbeach Bonner? Or let's say by the Shani? Let's say you had him in his bed and you brought the carbon and then you shifted it, deserved it, and then you took out the carbon and then in his bed it became broken. Mizbeach on the bed. Are you permitted to, not permitted to eat the Chazak and the Yashim and the Azor because it's on the Mizbeach Bonner? What about the Kachim Kalim which are not eating the Azor? What about Maitre Sheni? Or what about Nether Revai? The parents that grew the first 4th year have the same status as Maitre Sheni that they have to be eaten in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara in Zohar Daf Samach derives from the Pasuk that indicates the Hegdash. I compare Maitre Sheni, Nether Revai, Kachim Kalim, everything is compared to Kachim Kalim. The just like Chazak and Oshon, which have to be eaten by the Kohanim in the Azor, may only be eaten because Manshiyesh is bad, Banuim, and Mizbeach is giving young, right? So to anything else that has a special mitzvah to be eaten in Yerushalayim, truly you don't have to eat it in Yerushalayim. But my Rishani, as a Rabbi, these kind of things, the Kachim Kalim, the Kachim, all these things, can only be eaten with Manshiyesh is bad, Banuim. That's how Ibn Mara says. That's why Bismana is there, you are forbidden from eating the my Rishani in Yerushalayim, and as a Rabbi, because of 3 problems. Number one, we are talking, and number two, most of the time, we might be shaving that the Rabbi is coming, so we won't be able to eat in the Sahara. We're talking, and it's coming. And number two, we can't be eating the Kedusha. The Kedusha means that the Mizbeach has to be given Yom. And it's not bonnet, and the Mizbeach is not bonnet. When you eat cake, we say the Bracha Fena, and this is the Alaka Kolo, so we ask our Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Halegu, the Sarah, the Shem, the Yom, the material, the Yom, the Tuba. The rest of the Kedusha is Kolo. We ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we should bring that to the name Yerushalayim and HaKadosh and Hail the Amen. You should build Yerushalayim and you should rebuild Yerushalayim. You should be able to eat there the Kedusha of Tahara. So the mother of Rome quotes the Kasha from the Achronim. We are asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Nefam Imperium is number two. We want to come to Yerushalayim in order to eat and drink and enjoy and be married. The Gemara says in the end of the first paragraph in the Gospel, or later down in the first paragraph, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted very much to go there to Israel. But Chaman El Hashem, Baitan Yilaymar, he's crying, so many feelings in front of his brother said, stop crying, you're not going to get in there soon. No more feelings. So the Gemara asked, where does Moshe Rabbeinu want to go there to Israel for? The last of the period was done too. What, he wanted to relax on the Mediterranean? So he went to the Kinneret or something. Well, he wanted to eat Paris Kinneret. He wanted to eat the pleasant tasting food. So the Gemara says, no, that wasn't his interest. That wasn't his desire. When he wanted to go there to Israel, he wanted to fulfill the interest of his brother. Yearns very much to live in Eretz Yisrael in order to fulfill all the religious obligations that are connected with Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara seems to knock that notion of living in Eretz Yisrael to have a good time. Let them carry when he's done it too long. The Hakam will read that and the Eretz Yisrael will come and go. I'll read it with Sotheb, I'll take Nechon the Terry and his number two, they should bring the Eretz Yisrael, we should eat and drink and be married. So some commentaries say, Shabbeinu, I know Shabbeinu is Madrega, that's not a nice thing, that's a holy man. He wants to go swimming in the Mediterranean and sun himself and eat and enjoy himself. So as far as the Hamayi Nama are concerned, as far as you and I are concerned, nothing wrong, so that's right. When I live in Eretz Yisrael, such things are nice there. There's nothing wrong there. And others say that that's not the Pshat and Allah missing. But it doesn't mean that. These things are completely different. It says, Nei Yerushalayim Yerakadosh. Build a home city, holy city Yerushalayim. The Halelu is very hard. You bring us to Yerushalayim, not there to serve. The Halelu is the Binyan Shor, is the building of Yerushalayim. When Echa Mitzir Yah, when it's on Yisum Roh, we should eat the Teres of Yerushalayim. What are the Teres of Yerushalayim? Then it says, in the Barak Chaleha, Mitzusha Vatara. And then we will bless you, Kedusha V'tayra. There's some interpret that is referring to Mike Shani and that they're buying korbanos. The korbanos, those mitzvahs, those things that you can only eat in Yerushalayim, that's cool. Lechem Yitzir Yah, Shalom Yerushalayim, Nisam Yitzir Vosh, Shalom Yerushalayim. You want to eat the parents of Yerushalayim, it doesn't mean parents that grow there. The Gemara says you're not allowed to grow anything in Yerushalayim. They're not supposed to be any gardens. The Gemara says in Bava Kamer, one of the 10 leaders of Yerushalayim, you're not supposed to have any gardens there. We have gardens, we have dead bugs, we have dead bugs, some are going to be dead roses, and of course, tumas. We don't want to have any tumas, we want all the people to be told, so we have korbanos there that you're not allowed to be mitame, and you have marjashemi that they're dry that you're not permitted to be mitame. So the, some commentaries explain that that's what we're asking after this bowl. The tares of Yerushalayim we want to eat. The Kedusha of the Tahar means the marjashemi, the netere dry, the kachin kalim, the kachin kachin. And then, in the Barakah Chalah, the Kedusha of the Tahar, we will then be in the state of Kedusha of the Tahar. But then we'll bear Bracha before and after we eat. That's our summer term. In Azov, we're not so. A parallel. A parallel Bracha to this. So we have a din on the 40th. If you plant the tree for the first 3 years, the parents that grow, Arot, Bachi, Lot, Bama, you're not allowed to eat them. You're not allowed to feed them to the dog. You're not allowed to sell them to the goat. If you have trade for food, you can sell them to the goat. Unless the food is also ba'anah, you have bought to the chalam, it's also ba'anah, you can't sell it to the chalam. See, the parents that grow the first 3 years are also ba'anah. The parents that grow the fourth year have a special mitzvah to bring it to Yerushalayim to eat it there, to douche of the Torah. So the Torah says, and what happens if you have so much nether vay, or if you have so much ma'ishani, that it's, the transportation is prohibited? So of course, with so much money, the transport to Yerushalayim in order to eat it, so what do you do? You have to spend $1,000 in order to eat $10 worth of things in Yerushalayim. So the Chumash says that they told the Maitre Shemi and the Nesheru Vahy after money, they'll say $1,000 worth of things, the transfer to Yerushalayim after money, take the money to Yerushalayim, and then use that money to buy food and drink. Sata kesa ba boka, ba sona, ba yayin, ba shecha. You buy bread, fruit, vegetables, that has to be food, it can't be clothing, it can't be furniture, it has to be that with food that's kosher, that's edible. Malami sandwiches, meat, whatever, yacht, wine, beer, whatever, anything that you can eat or drink in Yerushalayim, and then that acquires the Kedushas Maikushenia, the Kedushas Nether of Ryan, you have to eat that. The parents that you group purchase, the parents that you purchase, the food that you purchase with the money, with which you appointed the Maikushenia Nether of Ryan, that's now down in the Kedushan, you have to eat that in the Kedushan of Tal. So the Mishnah has a takana of the Rabbanah. Within a certain radius near Yerushalayim, the Chachamim forbade the employee that might be shaved in their territory. They said you have to bring the parents to Yerushalayim, even though it's a tremendous tirchah, and you'd rather convert the Kedusha onto money and take the money in your pocket. Yerushalayim, go to a store, buy meal, buy meat and buy bread and buy fruits and vegetables and wine and beer and so on. Even though the Chumash says it's permissible, right, the Chumash just says, you can only be paid by the Shinetar and Vai if you're at least one step out of Yerushalayim. You're outside of the borders of Yerushalayim. If you're inside Yerushalayim and you have the Shinetar and Vai, you cannot be paid in Yerushalayim. You can only be paid outside. The Chachamim said, no, Kerem Vai, how you're all over Yerushalayim, you have to bring it up, you have to bring the original fruit to Yerushalayim. If you live within a radius of Yerushalayim, the Halach Yamech of the Chol Tzai. If the distance between you and Yerushalayim is the distance that would take only one day to travel. The Zuhi Kuma, what are the borders? The Mishnah gives you a lot in Hadarah. So the south of Yerushalayim, a lot takes one day to travel. Atrabat min Hatzafon, some in the city Akraba to the north of Yerushalayim is one day travel, Lud and Amira, Lud to the west, Yarden and Amizrach, and you draw a circle. So within that radius, within that circle, you're not permitted to do Rabban, you're not allowed to destroy the Nether of God. Why did the Chachamim introduce such a very Rabban Chosh? It says if you try to hear Chachamim Machadokai. Rechaz Makam, the Gemara says, see Akhaz, put to Yerushalayim. Gemara in the third paragraph of Makhaz says, one step out of Yerushalayim you can be poised. If you're in Yerushalayim you cannot be poised. If you're out of Yerushalayim you can be poised. So the Yom HaRuv of the Tamer, Rabbi Baba Chama, I'm Rabbi Yechanan, they quote it. And the name of Yechon, Matam, what's the reason? It is David Rabbon, but they don't allow you to be prayed in the Nether of God. If it grew within one day's radius distance from Yerushalayim, Matam, for what reason? They lie there, Shukei Yerushalayim, Paris. In order to beautify the city of Yerushalayim, that it should be cheerful, it should look cheerful, that it should have Paris. How will this be accomplished exactly? You mean if the people, I only need to learn the Pasha Shah means if the people, everyone has the right to be called out to convert the condition of the Nether of Ayah to money. If everybody comes to Shalim with money in their pockets and their wallet, one wallet with the Rodavikan money, one wallet with Hayden money, one wallet is going to have the Hekdishikan money, or the Shady money, Nether of Ayah money. Then he's going to go shopping. What's he going to buy? He's going to buy a loaf of bread, he's going to buy meat, he's going to buy salami, he's going to buy wine, he's going to buy beer, but the seeds from Shalim will not be beautified with fruit. You insist that you have to bring back to the fruit that grew on the tree, there's only fruits all over the place. That's what I thought the pshat was. Yeah. The Mephoshim on the Mishnah is the Ma'ir Shem, you keep a different pshat. I thought that was Mephoshim Shem. The Mephoshim on the Mishnah is you a different pshat. They say that there are always merchants selling, they sell everything, it's on the Mishnah. They sell all kinds of trinkets, they sell junk, they sell dead behemoths, they sell live behemoths. Sure, yeah. They sell wine, they sell beer, they sell fruit, they sell everything. So the chashash was like this. The people are going to come, the farmers are going to come with money, and they're going to come loaded down with lots of money, because they were for the thousands of dollars worth of lesser advice. So they're going to buy up all the fruit, but better on sale, nothing will be left. So the chachamim made a takana, everybody should come with their own fruit, and no one should be interested in buying the fruits that are there, so the fruits will be staying, stale fruits will be hanging all the time on the street.
Right.
It's going to be a deluge of fruit. The farmer's going to bring their own fruit, and no one will be interested in buying the fruit that is. No one needs them. They have their own fruit. There's going to be fewer customers to buy, and then there's going to be more fruit hanging around.
The other way is
that
everybody, if you do just like the rice, that you want to sell, everybody will go out.
We find
that we allowed to do that.
In other words,
people...
So you already brought the fruit to Yerushalayim.
Yes.
Mara says once, that's called the Chisa Liklo. Once it was brought inside of the Chisa of Yerushalayim, it's like this were caught in a catch in a mitzvah. And you can't take it out of Yerushalayim because Mara has a dispute on the Mirza of Sanhedrin. But that's a Dindarite or a Dindarabon, the Chisa Liklo. But you cannot be posed in Yerushalayim when it's in Yerushalayim. As the public in third, there's certainly a dinner that it doesn't work. But what if the fruits were in Yerushalayim, then you took them out of Yerushalayim? So the Mishnah is saying that you cannot be poder, but that's a dispute in the Gemara that your inability to be poder once it was brought in and brought out, is that only with the Rabban or is that also another thing?
Yes.
I don't know. I thought much fun is more people are going to drink food, going to look more cheap. Whatever it means, somehow or another the Chacham felt that by this takana we're going to accomplish, the Shlan is going to look more cheerful than it would otherwise look. So now, the Bryce will tell the story after the year 70, and the second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, and the city was taken over by the Roman soldiers. So we have to be interested in beautifying the city of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is the Churbana, not the Binyanai. So the whole reason for the Takana doesn't apply. So does the Takana still apply? You're not allowed to be praying there, the Torah is necessary by the groups in one day radius of Yerushalayim.
There's no disaster.
How can you bring spacious things? That's we're going to have to work hard to figure out what's going on. So the Gemara discusses the Tanya on the last two lines. The Tanya. Everybody, how do you learn about laser, the Nizrach, loose? So let's get loose. the Mishnah said, "Lord, it's to the west of Yerushalayim, within one day's distance." So Rav Leizer, the Tana, Rav Leizer ben Hushim, had a Kerem, if he had a vineyard to the Mizrach Lud, to the east of Lud, that means that it was within one day traveling distance from Yerushalayim. The Tzatz by 10, next to the 30 days. And this is after the days of the Churban Beit HaMikdash, way after. Rav Leizer was way after the Churban Beit HaMikdash. So what was he going to do with his Kerem Rabbi? And he knew the Takana, there was an ancient Takana that did not permit him to deploy the Kerem Rabbi within one day's distance. He doesn't have the time, he doesn't have the patience to go travel to bring all the stuff to Yerushalayim. He planned to be Makir, he was going to be declared and test for all of his Nazir Rabbi for the poor people that they should take it. Let them travel to Yerushalayim and eat it there. He didn't have the time. But he was going to be master it, so let the poor people, let them take it and eat it in Yerushalayim. The Netzer is right, no, Netzer is right supposed to be eaten in Yerushalayim. The first 3 years when it grows up, the Machir of Al-No, that you have to burn. Only you have to burn. But this was the fourth year. Kerem Rabbi had another Rav Leizer. It was really the fourth year. And he knew that the Takana de Rabbanon was that if you were sitting one day traveling business from Yerushalayim, you had to bring it. And he didn't have the patience, so he didn't have the time to go bring it. So he was clearly sitting out there, sitting on the inn, to the poor people, let them, they don't do anything for them anyway. So let them travel to Yerushalayim, let them hitch to Yerushalayim, let them eat it in Yerushalayim. Amul and Talmida, so his students told him, there's no need for you to be mafkir so much favor to the Aliyah. Rebbe, they told me, our Rebbe, Kvanimu Allah Chadirecho, the Hiti Ru, they tell him that the chief rabbi, Rav Leizer, was in Chayim. Rav Leizer ben Hurkin used to disagree a lot with the other time of the city. He disagreed so much, they had to put him in Chayim. He had to put him in Paragazov, also. So even before they put him in Chayim, he was very separated from the other city. He didn't know what was going on with the chief rabbi. You know, it was his own brother-in-law. The chief is afraid after Rabbi Amiel put the blame on Chayim that he's going to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should take the Kamer. The Banish Kamer should punish those who put in the Chayim. She knew that her husband davened every day, the Banish Kamer should punish Rabbi Amiel, her brother. So she was afraid that her husband's prayer would be answered. So she, every day, he used to daven home because he was in Chayim. Couldn't go to Shul, nobody would associate with him. But the one of the Chayim is allowed to associate with the members of the media who have family. His wife and his children still spoke to him. His wife spoke to him. He used to daven home every day. And his wife would make sure to start hacking him on time to talk to him in between Shemon Esrei before he said Tachman. Because the prayers are only completed if he says Tachman right after Shemon Esrei without being mastered. He's like the mother, obviously. And then one day the wife thought that it was Rosh Chodesh, and on Rosh Chodesh you won't say Tachman. She knew that. On Rosh Chodesh she doesn't have to tip it, she doesn't have to bother him. And her calculations were wrong. Apparently she didn't go to Shul either on Shabbos when they went to Shabbos. But she didn't know the Shabbos was going to be like that. It was really Arab or Shabbos. It wasn't her Shabbos. And her husband said, Tachnut. And then they announced that her brother's on. That day her brother's on. So his prayers were answered that after his brother should take the Kamut and the one would put him in Chayim. That was his own brother-in-law, his wife's brother, Rabbi Amriel. And that day his prayers were answered. That's the only source of the Gemara that you don't say Tachnun on the Shabbos and Shabbos. There's that Gemara in Tzadik HaZohar. And the doctor was good. They did not post the Nafsi from Shulchan Aruch Kodesh. They did not post the Nafsi in the Kiddush Shmoneh Esrei and Tachnun because the Tzibah Bishleimutza consists of davening Shmoneh Esrei with Bitzayin Tachnun in the Yisrael. There's a Machlekes to the Rambam in the Tzur, whether you say Tachnun Esrei Shmoneh Esrei is a real dinner or a minute. But today's going to point out that Rambam sounds like the tradition of real din. The Iker HaDin is the attribute that's talking about Eshish Manasseh. And the Torah says it's a minute. You don't mind them talking about that. That's what the many have seen in the Mizalbu. This one's the other. That's from the other. They do where it's happening every month in the Dutch. Last time, Friday, Monday, Sunday, Monday, Thursday, Thursday. They do it all the time. But according to the school, so the problem is that going to the school is not so bad because it's only a minute anyway. You don't have a minute. See, according to the Rambam, no, it's not so rich. You didn't like it. Rambam sounds like he says that it's a real thing. But that's Gemara. It sounds like it's a real thing also. You know what I'm saying? What's all I did, darling? I'm not prepared to the answer. It's all back in the darling. It's on the next start. See, you want the prayer to be answered, but the Gemara says you stand a better chance of having the prayers answered. If you say Tachnon, immediately following Shemaneh, without being mastered, so it should be required that you should do that. Like we assume that it's really necessary to daven Tfilah the Tzibur. You should always daven with the name of God. What's the obligation to daven Tfilah the Tzibur? It's not up to you. But the Gemara says that you stand a better chance of having your prayers answered if you daven with the name. And the whole purpose of davening is that you want the prayer to be answered in the affirmative. You want the Ganesham to say yes, to give you the panos, to give you whatever it is that you want, to approve and whatever it is. So you should daven with an Indian. And what is that the prayer should be? The same over here. The Gemara tells you that the prayers are in the better chance of being answered if you try talking immediately following my answer. Without a haftarah, so you shouldn't be wrong. The Gemara says that at that time Rav Lezer was not in touch with what was going on with the chief rabbi. So he didn't know that the Rabbanim had already sealed on all Takonos. A few years after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and he thought that it doesn't make sense, because they were out there, Shuki Yerushalayim, they should beautify the city of Yerushalayim, which is the Chorbanos in the non-Jewish hands, what HaMikdash does. So the Talmidim told Rav Lezer, they had to be very careful. You're going to tell them the chief rabbi. It's like telling the Mithuri Kaj, the head of the Mithuri Kaj, that the Rabbanos are Russian, so you pass. He tells Rav Lezer, our brother, the one who never got along with the chief rabbi, so they were very careful. That we said, they called him Rebbe, and they said, you're Chaveir. You know, they said, you're Talmidim. That was a little too much. But they didn't say the chief rabbi, they said, Chavirecha. That's a little more point there. They were very careful. They said, Yimnu Allah, Chavirecha, Nithiru. You're a friend, the chief rabbi. It was not for that easy. So there's no need for you to lose so much money. You can give away all the pennies to the Amina. They should need it in Yishuan. Then it's not necessary. So the Gemara says, Man Tavirecha, who is Tavirecha? Yechem and Zach, and he was the chief rabbi that time. He did not be at that time. So the Gemara says, Taim was an Indu. The only reason why the Takona fell apart, why the Zera fell apart, that he no longer has to bring the Taylor within one day, radius of Yishuan. The reason why it fell apart is because they were Nimnu, because they wrote it and they repealed it. Although they would have not voted to reveal it, so this is Zera the Rabbanu would have still remained. What? If Zera the Rabbanu would still remain. So the Gemara says these are the three examples that demonstrate.
Right, you may have told them that some of these are easily translated. Well, how is it? Some of them are very easy. No, they told them that this was done. So maybe he didn't have to. Yes.
He wasn't so keen about it. Was a very independent man. He didn't have a hang. He didn't get a hang for what they said. No. He listened. They repealed the Takana. You have to hold on to an old Takana. No longer exists. They repealed it. Now, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, on the left-hand side of the Daf, they tell you there's a cross-reference. The Rosh Hashanah, more Rosh Hashanah lists up 9 takanas that were made by Rabbi Yehudah and Zad. So most of the takanas that he instituted were that he repealed all the takanas. He did away, like we learned one of them here. He did away with the takanas that you're not permitted to be Mekabel and Eidim and Amin. So the Milo was called Yitamig, the Shishkan Yehudah and Zad, that he made the Mekabel. He reverted back to the Zidarei. And here he repealed that takanas. He repealed a whole bunch of old takanas. And then he made a couple of new takanas. And one of this is one of the 9 takanas that Rabbi Yehudah and Zad. So the Gemara wants to know, when Rabbi Yosef is proving this rule of Dovah Shebenin, Dovah Yenavalatil, why do they need to be liars? First, it brings a liar that the Bnei Israel were forbidden to be with their wives before Matan Torah, and that the Gemara had to give an express half of Shuvah Lachem Yoleichem that it's permissible. Then he brings a second liar who was forbidden to climb to walk on Hasinah, to touch Hasinah, and after Mami Hasinah is all over, after Yom Kippur, after everything was operating to Chorot HaKol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had expressly said, what do you have to give an express heter for some of the two that is Muslim? You would have known on our own. And then the third guy was in the story of Rav Lezer with the Karam Revive. So the Gemara wants to know, why do you need three rice? Bring one rice, good enough. Break the Gemara. My knee right there. Why does that mean to me the second rice and the second part is that walking in our skin? So the Gemara says, how can come? The shot is like, yes, the second part is, and you recall them, the story is talking about each one, each one. They didn't turn after they could be with their wives before Kabbalah was heard. So why did the Torah have to tell them, come on, I'm sure we'll have you all right, I'm normally, why are those girls have to tell them? Today, if the man has seen that he's over, they're permitted to be with their wives, it should be understood. So Shmami no, the right is called, those are the men suffering out of our fear. But that's the first right we understand. The key thing, when maybe someone can argue the point, and say that that's not what that person means. Shukra family all right, and it's not really needed to tell me that now, from now on, they're permitted, that there's no longer any to our picture of Isha. Maybe we would have known that on our own. I think Shalom Isha is only because we're prepared.
Yes.
Right, so that's the Tavis point out that that's not the way to read the Torah. Tavis on the bottom of Amud Aleph. Take a look, that's an important Tavis. Tavis on the bottom of Amud Aleph raises the question. In Europe, they used to do what we should do in America. In Europe, whenever they would raise the prices, let's say, before Pesach, they'd start charging outrageous prices for butter and for fish and for everything. So in Europe, they would make a chair, and no one is allowed to buy butter, period. They let him keep all of his butter. And he won't hold us up. That's what the Rabbanim, the Baal HaTorah used to do. Against Goy. Against Goy. They weren't afraid to make a chair against the Goy. That whoever buys the butter from the Goy, they didn't put the Goy in there. They put the Jews in there, whoever would buy butter from the Goy. Forbidden to buy butter from the Goy. So the chair would only be, you're not allowed to buy butter before Pesach. If the Pesach is over, if the Yom Kippur is over, so we're not charging any crazy prices anymore. So the prices went down to the neighbor, the chair went low. The Pesach has them up like this over here. The Pesach wants to know, Yeshua, the bottom says this, Yeshua had a Russian line on the car. Don Rabban himself, based on this Gemara, the Orson Chalom is Orson Lizman. Whenever the Rabban, whenever the Pesach will make an Easter, only for a time period, Ara Pesach, or Ad Manacher, only up until Pesach, that has to do with the food. Because the guy will be charged with drugs and price cards or whatever time. But if a rabbi is buying something for a month or doing something for a month, see how it's going to work out. So some of our thoughts, the Yahio, says, no, I'm talking in the heart of the Chayr. That the Chayr in the Easter doesn't fall off by itself. You have to have a later day to repeal the Chayr. The Pesach says that it's not correct. And why did they think so in the Gemara? Because they understood the pasuk, hey, you know, the Chayr, the Shloshit, that the 3 days, no one is permitted to be with their wives. And still, I put his book, I had to repeal that Zera himself and say, you have to manage how to finish. And this was repeated, even though there was a fine limit built in the Lachatila into the prohibition, you still have to have a master, you still have to have a Hetalayim. They said that's not correct, that's not the way the Pasuk reads. It doesn't say, I'll take Shalish or Shalosh as Yom. It says, I'll take Shalish, period. It says, be prepared for some great event, manage how to finish, that will occur after 3 days, on the third day, on the fourth day. However you read, the Gemara discovers it. Not exactly, you know, because I was going to say the great event is going to take place. And even the Chayim who spoke to tell me, be prepared for something important that's going to happen in 3 days, semicolon. Our picture of Isha without a time limit, but it's understood that the whole purpose of our picture of Isha is to be prepared. And after the event is up, so it doesn't make any sense to maintain the Isha of our picture of Isha. Yes, because it's rather have to permit it. But if the prohibition itself would have had a time limit, then you would have not had to be martyred. You wouldn't have to be martyred. That's all we assume in the Shulchan Aruch. Because I've made a Gershom, or I've gone and made a prohibition. I made a lot of these surim. So some of these surim were without any fine limit. And one of these surim had a fine limit. The prohibition against marrying two wives was based on the society that he lived in. So I've made a Gershom, didn't think that he had Ruach HaKodesh to know what's going to happen in 1988. How is he going to know what's going to be in 1988? Maybe he'll be wonderful to have 21. Maybe it's terrible to have one more. How did he know what's going to happen? So he didn't have the Ruach HaKodesh to make it forever. He just felt he knows what's going to happen in the near future. So he instituted a Chayav de Rabbeinu Gershom only up until the year 5000 in our calendar. The year 5000 corresponds to the year 1240. In the Gershom calendar, from the Shulchan Aruch, and the Chamber, the Yeshiv Karakot, Rabbeinu Gershom made a Xeris forbidding you from marrying two wives, which only lasted up until the year 1240. And it's over. Over is over. Who repealed it today? No one repealed it. It doesn't have to be repealed. Like Tracy said, it's not a problem by itself. He didn't think that he knew what was going to happen after 1240. He didn't have the Ruach HaKodesh to know. So his Zera only had a time limit built into it, only up until 12 hours. Until the end of the Aleph HaHamish, until the year 5000. So that's when the Rabbah says that it's up. The Ramah disagrees, and he says that we, the Ashkenazim, still observe this chemia of education. We don't marry two wives. But he doesn't say, like the Yesh Ha'ari wrote to Lama and says, he doesn't say that they, since no one can feel the chemia of education, even though it's made for a time limit, it still remains to be everybody. He says, no, the chemia is not over. We have accepted it in the limit. It's a minute today that we don't marry two wives. It's not the same as it was years ago, before the year 1240, if someone would marry a second wife, he'd really be in chemia. Today we don't say that he's in chemia. It just says in the Shulchan that if someone marries a second wife, in violation of the minute, if the Rabbanim feel that they want to force them to divorce the second wife and it doesn't give in, they even have the right to put in a cherem if they choose to. They have the right to put in a cherem in order to force them to get rid of the second one. But first wife, whatever they do, the Yosha dictates. The Yosha, the whole end would normally dictate that the second wife, that's the one that he married the equal, the first one was okay. That they feel that they want to compel them, and the only way to force them to divorce the second wife is by putting in a cherem. They even have a right to put in a cherem, but it doesn't say he's automatically a cherem. Before the year 1240, he would be automatically a cherem. That was the cherem that I've been against him. Whoever marries the second wife is automatically a cherem. But today he's not automatically a cherem. That's because we follow everybody who's not him. We pass on our law, like I said, it's a that if an Ether is instituted with man cuts him, once his mind is up, the Ether is up. The only time we call it a Dutch dominion is that you need a human apelatio is if the Easter originally had no time limit built into the law. It's not understood that when it comes to a certain time, and the reason for the Easter no longer applies, that the tradition should fall apart. Is a... Cherem is a... It starts off as a cross. There's different kinds of cherem. Sometimes if that person did something wrong, so they put him in cherem. So cherem means a curse, that the person should drop dead. If he dies, he attributes his death to the curse. The Gemara says that the word cherem is not a balakum. The Gemara says the word cherem is also a shlamach. That the curse should sink into his ramach, his body, the 248 limbs of his body, and should cause him to die. And then if you repeal the cherem on the person, that's considered like really an act of tzitzamek. Called man as an innocent, we treat him as if he's a god of fear, we treat him as if he's dead. And when a person dies, he's the same, he don't fit shiva. Like how we get fed, he's still the shiva. So if someone is killed by the bed, he don't fit shiva. His mother says, if I had some brother shangi, when a Russia died, you have to celebrate. You have to make a party. Your relatives don't deserve shiva. So if a person dies, there isn't failing, he don't deserve a bed. And if the bed is not in the family, we treat him as if it were a form of fear something. And then there's another failing, that the Bezin says we declare that it's prohibited to buy butter before paper. That's an Easter. Whoever violates the Easter should be punished with a death penalty. Not being a human death, be careful. That it should be punished with a death penalty. Different kinds of care. Sometimes the cherem is a punishment for a sin that the person already has violated, and sometimes the cherem is they're formulating a prohibition, and they say that they want it to be a severe prohibition. Severe is there that whoever violates it should be punished with their curse, and they should die. So the Gemara explains why you need three indications for the same business. So the first door is from our picture on Isha, one can really do that. The three statements the Gemara says, and this will want to say. But that topic that told the name is Rosh Shuvalach and Yohalechem doesn't really mean that now I'm lifting the prohibition, and everyone is not permitted to go back to their wives, but it rather means that this must honor who the author. At that point, it means to say, there is a mitzvah holding. It says in the Torah, in Parshas Mishpatim, it says when a man is married, share his tzitzit and not the law of Israel. He's not permitted to torture his wife by withholding tzitzit from Israel. By being, it's not like being mean to his wife by not being with her. So the Torah says that it's an avera. Share his tzitzit and not the law of Israel, sin if he does. It is considered a mitzvah if he gives his wife loan, if he spends the time with his wife. So we don't have a pasuk in this pasuk that says it is a mitzvah. The Gemara says maybe that's what this pasuk means. The chitay, if you want to say that when the pasuk says shuv lachem li'aleh, my pasuk is like lifting the prohibition. Prohibition became lifted by itself. Once the man had seen was over, the only one is permitted to be with their wife. Now, so the Gemara says that they're obligated to be with their wife. This person, I know who the odds are, so they can't really derive from this pasuk. No, but as long as it's not a man, Hakina is over, said the prohibition is over. Because the women had to be away from the husbands for 3 days, so they really missed them. So I command that everyone should be with their wives, the doctor, in order to cheer up their wives. So the prophet Shubham Yorim doesn't mean you are permitted, means you are obligated to be with your wife, to cheer them up. And this would be the source for the mitzvah of Omer Lodoros, which we really don't have a source. Because the thought that shares specifically about the Lodibra is alive, it's an Easter. Not to cheat, not to be mean to your wife. Where does it say a mitzvah? Some Hashem say the mitzvah is the same as Mrs. Kutnikin, but there is a mitzvah of Omer. But it says regarding one who got married, it says not the yield of Beit Hashanah Echad, that they're not permitted to get from the army for the first year. Then it concludes, the Sima Hashishta. But the Prophet said to me, the Prophet said, the Sima Hashishta, during that year, he's not allowed to be drafted by the army, he should be free to entertain his wife. So the Smach, let's jump the Prophet, the Sima Hashishta, calling me Echad for the rest of the life. That's not limited to Shana Echad. Not the yield of Beit Hashanah, as a time limit of Shana. Sima Hashishta is a mitzvah sachet for Omer. But the Prophet called not the Lord, Yidra, the Rav. And the other Prophet that says, the Sima Hashishta is the Echad and Omer. And the Gemara here says it's a different part. The Gemara suggests an educated part to Shubham Ham Yohalechem is not teaching me a hefe, but it's rather teaching me a chiv, a tivoy. That every man has a chiv of aima to be with his wife. There's certain theories of part. So you can't really derive from this part the principle of those elements. So you might have thought, no, we'll learn from the other part. But originally I thought it's wrong because no one is allowed to walk in our Sinai. And it's not because they're not allowed to walk because it's the Shechina is there. And after the Shechina will go away, after Yom Kippur, after the second Lucas will be brought down, there won't be any Shechina, so then it'll be mutter to go. And nonetheless, the Prophet had a stress, and Mashiach Hayyeh will hang the Yalla Bahar. I thought his Baruch Hu had to give a heter, that when the Shechina will blow, when the Shechina will not blow, whatever the Pshat is, so then they'll be committed to go and have Shechina. And why did he get that Prophet Mishrik, see that already says, the other Prophet, Gamatong, Abbaq al-Yiru. They're not allowed to, the animals are not allowed to pasture. And muhahor ha'hu, and the connotation of that phrase is ha'hor ha'hu only when it's being mishadai, when the Shechina is there. So we should have really understood on our own that after the Shechina disappears, there should be mutter for the behemoth, for the people, for everybody to walk in Ha'ishina. So why does the Torah have to give a head to Mashiach Ha'yoyim Olamoli? Why does the Torah have to say that when the Shechina goes away, it's mutter, the Shemani, no, we'd be right in that process, this principle, don't you dominion? So I'm not there last year, but in the second part that we really see, the second part that we really conclude is that walking in Ha'ishina, what do you need the Mishnah and Maizu Shemi for? It's a story with Bablego and Yevon and Jaka. But it must continue. You see, same one, perhaps you argue the point that say, how do you live in the year right? Maybe the principle of Darshan and Nidhi is talking about the last year only applies on the level of your right. It's a biblical being. If the first one gives a din, and we know what the reason is, and we know the reason doesn't apply to the din, it's still a part. How about the Rabbanan? But if it's a mitzvah, the Rabbanan know the reason, and the reason doesn't apply. Maybe it's an issue to continue observing the Din of Rabbanan. Maybe it should be a violation of Al-Kosher. Because after all, it's really a problem. How does the Rabbanan have the right in the first place to introduce any Din of Rabbanan? The Torah says, you're not allowed to add on Al-Kosher. So the answer is, no, it says no condition of the Kosher Mishmak. And that's Mishmak, the Rabbanan was authorized since David and Ha-Kosher. I think Mishmak is Mishmak. To prevent people from violating Rabbanan. But if that's only going to make sense, then the Xayah makes sense. But if you live in a time that the Xayah no longer makes any sense, or the Takhand Rabban doesn't make any sense at all. So then you should say that maintaining to observe, continuing to observe the Din of Rabban should be a violation. You should go back to the Talmud about Taisa. So the Gemara says, if you came, then maybe you'll tell me how to do their rights. And if they're right, if I could involve the both of the answers, tells us the Din. And we know clearly what the reason is, and the reason doesn't apply anymore. The Din still applies till he tells us himself that it's not. But if Din of Rabban, that's called very likely in time before. But if Din of Rabban, maybe I would think law, maybe I would think that once the reason falls apart, the Ether has to fall apart, it should be a violation of Al-Qur'an. And that's what I've used to continue with the third point, for Shema Kemrabai, etc. Kemrabai is only Din Rabbanan. And still a student told that Lezer, Kvanim, Allah, have the Rabbi Yisiru. So therefore you see that even on the level of the Rabbanan, you still say that Rabbi Shemilin, Sabrin Yen Abelakir. That's how the Lord says. That you're not allowed to be told that within one day's vicinity of Yerushalayim. That's what the Gemara says. The tour in Hilchos Tishri quotes this story. The tour was the son of the Rosh. They lived in Germany. He was stood up in a high language and he lived in Germany because of persecution. They had to run away to Spain. And the Rosh took over the Rabbanus of the Rajbon, the city of Cologne. The Rajbon took over the Ramban. The Ramban was the Rosh. And the Rajbon took over the Rajbon. They still have Arayana there. They still have the Rabbi's home in Barcelona. Rabbi Shabel, the Hanna Gokha, who thinks that in the Ramban and Kumish and English, he also thinks of the biography of the Ramban. He writes in the biography that before he completed the biography, he decided to go visit Barcelona to see if he can find the house where the Ramban lives, that it's still there.
They have one house, which is called the Rabbi's house, the Rabbi of Yisrael. And down the block is the bakery. That's why he had a bakery in the Rashbor, right in the Shivas, and he remembers when he was a student learning about the Ramban, they would eat the dough for the masses in the Ramban dome. And we didn't have an oven, so he used to take it outside, walk in the streets under the sun, the sun was shining, on the masses. They would walk down the block, and it took a few blocks, took a few minutes to walk down the block, so they broke and going to the bakery, they put it in the oven, and they weren't worried they were going to turn into chum. So they didn't wait 18 minutes. After they finished eating the dough, they didn't run, they walked down the block to the Rabbi Shavel. The Rabbi Shavel wanted to know, how far is it down the block? So he looked at the house, reached the house, and 10 minutes walk down the block. If he walked slowly, they have the house where the Ramban used to live some years ago, and they have the bakery down the block, it's still there, everything is still there. So he describes all of them. So when they rush, ran away from Germany, and they moved to Barcelona, which they fit with all the different, home with all the different practices that they had, and had to figure out what he's going to observe and what he's going to fight. So they had in Germany, the Jews never wore tzitzis, and had a counter made from linen. They only wore made from wool, or other materials, silk, or cotton, whatever. They wouldn't wear made from linen, not because of the monitor, it was prohibited to wear, prohibited. Then I told her if you wear linen, four corner garment made of linen, you're obligated, physically obligated to put it in. And the Rabbana, the Gemara has a dispute, and in fact, that's one of the cases that we're talking about, the Shama against the Tzitzit. Sadden the Tzitzit. Sadden means you have a four corner garment that's made from linen. Sadden means a linen garment. It's four corners, but that's what we're talking about. You have a four corner garment made of linen, it's called Sadden the Tzitzit. So the Shama is forbidden with the Rabbana to put in the processes. Because if you're going to put in sisters in the days of the Tanakh, you're going to put in chelus and rabban. And the chelus is not only a color, the chelus is not only a color, it has to be a material. The stringers and stringers and stringers that are going to be chelus has to be made of wool. And it has to be dyed a specific color blue. So the chelus will constitute shatnez, because if the garment is linen and the string is going to be wool, it's going to be shatnez. But the Torah says that it's invisible to wear shatnez. That's the source of the principle of mitzvah tasei. So if a mitzvah is like that, that's the whole marker that the Gemara has in the first paragraph of the Yomim. That is the marker of the Zinu, that's the Decha Maitzvah. It's necessary to violate an Avera in order to fulfill a mitzvah tasei, so it's permissible under certain conditions. We don't always say, but that's one of the things. So the Gemara says, however, that there's a problem. The only time you say mitzvah says the Decha Mitzvah is like that is if you really fulfill the mitzvah, it's a problem. Chelus is very expensive because chelus is only kosher if it comes from a special fish that's called a chalos. The chalos in the Gemara says is very hard to come upon. We don't know exactly what the chalos is today, so we've done away with chelus. So the last 1,000 years we haven't been wearing chelus. In the days of the Talmud and Amram they were chelus. And somehow in the middle of the period of the Golan, the chelus disappeared. Nobody knows exactly what happened. They forgot already what the chalos is. There was a Chiddush Rebbe in Europe, yes. The Radina Rebbe. The Radina Rebbe in Europe before the war, a long time ago, right? So about 90, 100 years ago, 100 years ago, the Radina Rebbe came up with a Chiddush and he printed one paper, then a second paper, then a third paper, and he put it all together and it's called Shlosh and Sifrei HaChelus. And he claimed that he discovered what the Chelus was and all the different Chiddush were Chelus. But all of the Rabbanim didn't, all the Rabbanim disagreed with him. For various reasons, some disagreed on his identifying the fish, and others said that even if he did identify properly, since we don't have a matzoret, and this doesn't fly, and he printed all of your opinions, which is a nice He printed in the second line, he printed that everybody disagreed with him. He quoted all their letters, the Beit HaLevi, or Yeshiva Bebiska disagreed, Tishkelev, and Tishkelev, everybody disagreed, and he prints why he refused them, why he holds that he's right. But it hasn't generally been accepted. The scholars also assumed that he was wrong. And the second issue of scholars thinks that he didn't really identify the chalos and that he's wrong. It's not accepted, only the Rabbina Hasidim where the chalos is. So the Gemara says that the chalos is very expensive. And there would be fakers who would be selling chalos and claiming that it's the real thing and it was really an imitation. In video fake, the Gemara called the imitation is called Kla Ilon. Kla Ilon looks the same as Chalus, the difference between him, you couldn't tell right away whether it's real Chalus or not. The way to tell the Gemara says is if it was fake,
a real tailor doesn't say, and the Kwanim on the invitation tailor would say. You couldn't sell until a year later. If you watch and you write the composition, you call him and you work for a year. Then you tell it. The fate is that the consumer said you bought it from the paper. And if it didn't say, then the consumer said that it was good. But the more that would be the product. You're going to put in this in a baggage shell system and a linen garment, and the stitches is going to have tailors in it. And the tailors are going to create shatnus that, yeah, well, fine if you know that you're buying from an honest merchant who's selling your kosher tailor. If you fell in, and there were many people who had been cheating in the days of Holy Tehran, the Shannon, so they had crooks and also. Most of the 20th century guys, because then it would sell imitation tailors, because the people would be violating the other. We're in shatnus unnecessarily, because there wouldn't be any at the devil of center. But that's why the Shammai forbids, so you could have said, so it's forbidden to put in tailors. To put in love on, because like we do, put in the white suit, is that? No, the Shammai forbids, you're not allowed to put on stitches at all. The Rabban is forbidden to put in stitches with Ramay and a Degas of fish. This is what the Russians used to do. Then in Germany, the Jews never wore an Abercrombie's own linen. When he moved to Spain, when he moved to Barcelona, he saw all the Balabas and were wearing linen Abercrombie's. He said, so the Xer of the Shammai, which was accepted at the end of the time, was falls apart, and it's no longer binding. So the Rosh thought that they were right, and he also changed those. He also started wearing linen habitat. And then the Rosh explained the true approach of the Rosh. I then the adoption of minion, dropping the apple on the Rosh. So what do you mean? You're permitted to put in stitches in the Degas of Fish. But how many are there? Even though the reason no longer applies, the Xer should apply. He says, no, adoption of minion doesn't apply. But we know clearly what the reason is, and whatever the reason of this life in the Jared of the thing. That's exactly what Dovah Shemini is. We know what the reason is. And when the reason doesn't apply, it didn't kill us long. So what does the Rosh say? And we don't understand what the Rosh says. You have such a similar passage in the Rosh, in the Sechet Tzubit. The Gemara says, the Mishnah has a Tzubit, but there was a Tachanas HaTanoim, that when a woman gets married, the husband divorces her, the husband dies, and the wife is entitled to collect Tzubit. If she only collects tzubit, if the husband dies before her, she becomes a widow, the husband's a worker. If the woman becomes an almoner, she becomes a grusha, then she's entitled to collect tzubit. What if the wife dies before her? She's not entitled to collect any tzubit. What she means? Protect tzubit to her grusha. So the Mishnah has an institution of tzubit is an indifference. That he has to pay that amount of money that the girl's father gave the couple when they got married. And the girl probably gave $100,000, $50,000. And then the girl died, if the company had a few children, she died. The wife died. And then the husband goes and marries another wife and had a lot of children. And then $100,000, that the girl number one, wife number one, her father gave $100,000. She's not this money. The new wife is buying mink coats, she's buying diamond rings. And then he has 10 children from the second wife, and he only had one child from the first wife. And then when he's going to die, all the money is going to go 10 to 1, 10 children from the second wife. All the money is going to go 10 to 1 to the second children. So the Tanaim were afraid that people will be discouraged from giving gifts to their daughters because they were afraid the daughter may die, the money may go to the second one. And so the obligation, let them all be rich and well, if I can have on my money, why do they have money? So they stopped giving money to their daughters when they got married. And they only gave it to their son. So in order to encourage them to give money to their daughter like they used to give to their son, the son got married, he used to give a lot of money. Apparently the women used to die of childbirth, the women used to die early on the opposite. In order to encourage the parents that they should give money, they should even other people. She said, no, they should give to the daughter also. So they made this tachon has been different than it appears in the Mishnah, that even if the wife died earlier, whatever money her father gave the couple when they got married, he has to give all of that money to her yoshim, if she has children. When the husband dies, first he has to give away the $100,000 to her yoshim. And then, whatever money is left, then you divide the issue equally. So that the money will not go to the wrong, to the other children. It will go to his grandchildren, to the father. So the Rosh quotes in the name of the Gaonim as excuse, and he comes to the conclusion that this Takanah ben Adichin is obsolete, and it doesn't apply anymore because the times have so changed the way things are today, you're going right, but that's the way things are today. People only give money when the daughter gets married. When the son gets married, you don't give anything. You give much less, you hardly give any money. You only give all the money when the daughter gets married. It's all business for the Takana doesn't apply. But the Takana Rabbana doesn't apply. So the question is, the Gaon and some of the other Gaon who disagree, say, what are you talking about? There's a Gaonish and Minyan. This was a Takana Satana, and that means it's still for this reason. Even if the reason for the Takana no longer applies, the Takana should still apply. Then I finally collect a series of additional sources that define Takana Rabbana for specific reasons. And whatever reason doesn't apply, the Takana falls apart. And the skin has jive with this Gemara. I don't know if the Takana, even when the reason no longer applies, the Takana still applies. So the Sefer Kohelet Yankis, when the author of the Mishnah Yankis, he explains it as follows. The Gemara says, and I adopt called the Tikkun Rabban came to write the Tikkun. The Gemara says, there is the Rabbanan, a pattern after the Din Deraita. So let's look what is the Din on the level of Deraita. So when do we say like Rav Shimon, that where does Shimon time in this wrong? That even if you know what the reason for the Din Deraita is and the reason no longer applies, still the Din Deraita does apply like on one in Ashira. We still say, aim the mashkin in Oisin. I'm not a take less stuff from taking on one. Even though this is Gimbal's work, it gives me $1 million worth of dress. I don't have to give back these other dress. I don't have to give back these dress because it's a business dress. Nevertheless, if you don't apply, you're not allowed to take a beggar on money, you can take other things, but not a beggar. But that's only because the Torah doesn't have the reason written right next to the mitzvah. But the Gemara says, if I have what if the Torah writes to this? A mitzvah or another, and it writes the reason right next to the mitzvah. So then the Gemara says in the second paragraph, Sanhedrin, there, the Rabbanu will agree to Rav Shimon. Says, yes, Rav Shimon time is well. The Chumash says, you're not allowed to do this and this because of that kind of reason. So whenever the reason is incorporated into the list itself, then you do say that she's a family as well. Nigma gives examples of the Paskin, the later Paskin gives many examples as far as you can concern. So whenever the reason for the Din doesn't apply, then the Din itself doesn't apply, because it's incorporated within the Din. That was the list of the Din. Nigma has an example. It says in the Chumash that Merah is not permitted to Layabra La Nosha. He's not allowed to marry too many women. Nigma says more than 18 is too many. 18 or less is permissible. Nigma derives from the Paskin that don't know. That's 6 wives, and now he told me to take another 6 and another 6 at some point with 18. And more than 18 is forbidden. And one time I read the Pesach like this. But Yahweh lo nashim v'lo yotir es l'dobro. Not that it takes too many wives, more than 18. But lo yotir es l'dobro, unless they will remove his heart from Avodah Hashem. But one time I said, that's only to marry the plain girl. What if he married a very, very religious girl from Beit Yankish? Wearing the simple dance of there, and long dresses, and everything, and long sleeves, and then it's mutter. One time it says mutter. Why? Because it says in the Chumash, Le'yavah l'anashah, Le'yavah l'anashah, he's not allowed to take an extra wife because, and this is his reason. So whenever the reason doesn't apply, then the prohibition doesn't apply. The Torah has additional cases like that. Whenever the Torah has either a mitzvah or an aveira, and it says the reason right next to the mitzvah or the aveira, so whenever the Chachamim can determine that the reason doesn't apply, then the mitzvah doesn't apply. So called the Tikkun Rabbanan came to write the Tikkun on the level of the Rabbanan, it's also the same. There are two types of dinim to Rabbanan. 99 out of 100 times when the Rabbanan made a Takkun, 100% of the time they had to have a good reason for making a Takkun. They're not permitted to change the dinim to write this. They don't have a very good reason. That's not a valid reason. But 99 out of 100 times they would never be the first of the reason. That's going to say it's forbidden to write with the left hand because you need to get right with the right hand. You're going to say like that, so everybody's going to say, he's going to forget, not going to say, I know that this. You're not allowed to carry in the conference, but you may carry in the shoes around. Everybody's going to say, every other guy will say, that applies to the Halabasa, it doesn't apply, I know the demon, I understand. The Xeris doesn't apply to me, so that people just won't observe all the Xeris to Rabbana. The Gemara says in the Masechta Avodah Zarah that the practice of the Rabbana used to be, whenever they used to institute Xeris, they wouldn't tell, they wouldn't disclose the reason for the first year. So one of the people to get used to observing the Xeris to Rabbana. After the Galim, so observing it, then I'll tell them what the reason is. So if you're going to tell them right away the reason, then everybody's going to assume that the reason doesn't apply to anyone observing there is a problem. So 99 out of 100 times, 100% they had to have a reason. 99 out of 100 times, they wouldn't disclose the reason. They wouldn't incorporate the reason into the Nusach of the Shachar. But there were rare instances where they felt compelled to include the reason for the experience of the when is that? So sometimes, before and sometimes, whenever they made it, they're the Rabbanon, in violation of it, isn't that right? They tell you, you're not allowed to put on stitches on a garment that's made from wood. What do you mean you're not allowed to? They're going to tell you that I'm allowed to and I have to. Rabbanu Hatam is the Oiker and Mitzvahs in the Torah. They tell me, don't blow Shoytam or Hashem to Ola Hashem. They tell me, don't give Yerusha to the children the way it's supposed to be. Before you divide Yerusha, first give $100,000 to this child and then divide the rest of the Yerusha. So the Gemara says that's in violation of the laws of Yerusha. It's a clear government of Torah. So whenever the Hachamim introduced the Hachamah or Xeria, that's against the laws of the Torah, they are compelled to incorporate the reason for the Xeria, the reason for the Hachamah into the Hachamah. Whenever the reason, whatever the Torah was incorporated into the Lissah of Hachamah, then even on the level of the right, they wouldn't be called the Dalishim and Indians. Whenever the Hachamah comes that the reason doesn't apply, the whole thing would fall apart. So on the level of the Rabbanim, it's the same. So all the passages in the Gemara, all the examples over here, were instances where they had a reason for the Takana, but the reason was not incorporated into the Nusach of the Takana. They made the Takana to stop. Within one day of travel on the outskirts of Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to carry the net, everybody has to bring it to Yerushalayim. They didn't incorporate it, they did not include the reason into the Nusach of the Takana. So therefore, even when the reason doesn't apply, it's their reply. But whenever the reason was part of the essence of the Nusach of the Takana, and whenever the Gzeir was against the laws of the Torah, they had incorporated into the Nusach of the Takana. But then, whenever the reason doesn't apply, the whole thing falls apart.
So
by the time, since it's Hakira, Governor of Torah, it's in violation of the laws of the Torah, the Rosh says, the reason had to be incorporated into the Yusra HaTakon. Therefore, what is Mana Zedah? We don't have Kairos anymore, so the reason doesn't apply, so the whole thing is Rabbanu, doesn't apply. Yeah, we'll have to discuss next week the top Tosfos on Daf Hei Amud Beis, is very important. Tosfos on Daf Hei Amud Aleph is about the Hei Amud Aben Gershon is important. Whenever the Takon Gola Hakila had a time limit, then it falls apart by itself, there's no Machlech. I mean, there is a Machlech, but we don't talk like the Esha Ha'ilot and Loma, we don't accept those things. But the top Tosfos on Amud Beis is very important. If the Beis on Igdash were destroyed at it, what Amud Beis are, so what will the Amin gain? What will he accomplish by being mocked here, the terrorists of the Amin? They can't eat in Yerushalayim either. So what are they going to accomplish here? That's a big problem. We're going to have to learn the top Tosfos to be made next week to discuss that. Oh, next week we'll learn for it. So we'll discuss the Rikesenet. Next week we'll learn that. We'll learn Gemara Midrash. In this week's session, Parashat Bitzavah is really a continuation of Parashat Teruma. If you count up all the segments of the Chumash, there are really 54 segments. Zohar writes that there are 53. The question all the commentaries ask is, what happened to the missing segment? Which segment is the Zohar deal over here? That's the question. So some say there's only one segment, and it's Nitzav Vayera. It's counted as one segment, as we all know. We all know Nitzav Vayera counts as one. And the classical version on the Zohar say no, that Truman Tetzavah counts as one, and they say because yesterday the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu, every Seder has a name on Moshe Rabbeinu, except for Tetzavah. And while this is a punishment for Moshe Rabbeinu, as he said, Mechaim on the Sikra Pasha, the top of the Bala Torah Kotzman, he said, if you don't forgive the Jewish people for the sin of Diego, so cross my name out from the Torah. So even though he was a Kilat Kofan al-Afnai, he accepted upon himself a punishment on the condition that Hashem would not forgive the Jewish people, but Hashem did forgive the Jewish people. But nonetheless, the Talmud tells us that Kilat Kofan al-Afnai, the Kayenis, the curse will take effect. So the curse took effect partially, and that's why the name of Moshe Rabbeinu is crossed out from partial success. So the Zohar, perhaps that's how the commentators, many commentators on the Zohar say like that. That's the more popular explanation, not like the only one that you sell. Yeah, this is one, but rather Shumat and Sabah is one. That the Pashas Tetzavah, in order to cover up on the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu's name doesn't appear, there is one long Sedra from last week in this week. So what is this long Sedra all about? It's all about how to build a Mishkan. What's the relevance of what's the significance of how to build a Mishkan is Manav Zeh, Manav Kimina. We're not holding by building a Mishkan. If we're going to build the third Beis HaMikdash, we have to look in the end of Navi Yechezkel. The last 10, 15, 12, we talk about how to build the third Beis HaMikdash. We're not going to look over here in Shumat Tetzavah. So it's still relevant. The Gemara says to Masechah Shabbos that you learn out all of the melachos from the Mishkan. So the prophet said you have to build a Mishkan, but not on Shabbos. But the problem, as important as it is, to build a Beit HaMikdash, to build a Mishkan, it's forbidden to build a Mishkan on Shabbos because everything that is necessary for the purpose of building a Mishkan constituted the melachos. We have to look through the whole story of what they did and how they built the Mishkan in order to know what the melachos. So one of the 39 melachos of Shabbos is called this. It didn't say right. So there's a Rashi lens of dispute among the Tanaim. What if you don't write words, letters? What if you draw a picture? What if you fingerprint? Make marks, designs, anything other than an alphabet. The Rashi, the Rambam doesn't learn like that. The Rambam says that everybody agrees that that's a biblical prohibition. The Rashi learns that the Mishnah and the Sefer Shabbos, that that's a dispute among the Talmud. But the atheist is of the opinion that that's a biblical prohibition. To draw pictures and make a marking is a violation that I think is called Rosh Hashanah. You know, it's not supposed to be Rosh Hashanah. You're not writing words, you're not writing letters, you're writing Siman and so forth. And what? Cool. Where did you have Steve and the Mishkan? What did they write in the Mishkan? They said they had the board one next to the other. They always put up the board in the same order. So they had a label then. So that Yeti says, how they know they have to write A, B, C? They have to write A, B, C? Just make a mark. Of course, the board, from one board to the other, make a mark like this. You don't know that these two boards go together. Next, so you make them off higher or lower, whatever, you don't know. So it wasn't really necessary to write letters on the board, they just did machine from one to the other, but they would be able to identify which two go together. So they said, that is the source of kosher in the Mishkan. So the violation being used, it can apply even if you don't make letters, if you just write machine. And the way Rashi learns the Mishkan, the Chachamim disagree. They say that drawing a picture is only forbidden in the middle of bonus. It's not forbidden in Atari. The only prohibition in Atari is to write letters of an alphabet. Hebrew alphabet, English, whatever alphabet you want. So where do they learn it from? Right? There's an expression. Also an expression. It's a board. What, and they hold that how to write Aleph, Bay, Gimel, how to write A, B, C. Why is it just an expression? So some say, yep, but the Chachamim say, well, they learn not an expression. But they disagree with our Yankees entirely. They hold that instead of making marks, they used to write letters. That's how the Rambam and the Tishan are talking. So that Amineser has an original interpretation. He says, no. He thinks, he writes in his Tura Sayyid Amineser, he thinks that the Rabbanon learned it out from this week's day. And part of the Talmudic it says about the Russian. This week it says about the Vigil Gulun. So it says, the Chosakta, they had to write Kurdish Russian on the 5th. And they didn't write pictures. They wrote letters on how to write the names of the Shvatim and the Kitzur Zayv and on the Avnei HaChoshen. They had to engrave the names. So this is Mamish Ksiva. So the Rabbanim said that you derive the Malach HaKaitiv not from the writing, not from the mark, from the crushing, but rather from the Oasis of the Yitzur. That's why the Rabbanim insists that the biblical violation only applies if you write letters, and if you draw pictures and anything else, it's not an Yitzur Zayv, the way Rashi knows. It's only an Yitzur Zayv Rabbanim. Why doesn't that Yehudi agree? Why does he insist on learning out from the Prussian? Why doesn't he learn out from the Big Day Kuhuna? So the Abinayi has a shot on that also. So he comments that the Gemara lists off among the 39 levels of Shabbos Ofer. You're not allowed to bake. The Gemara says, Ofer! What did they bake in order to make the Mishkan? They didn't bake anything. They used to cook vegetables in order to get the dye. The dish they had, they cooked the vegetables in order to get the dye out of it in order to dye the Uriah. Because they didn't do any baking. So the Gemara says, you're right, the real malacha was cooking, and baking is a subsidiary. It's a subsidiary of cooking, and the reason why the Mishnah wrote baking is in order to have the Siddur of the past, in order to remember the 11 malachas that go together how to bake the loaf of bread. But it's really loved up. So the commentaries on the Gemara here, what are you baking? We didn't have the Mishnah. How to bake every week, the last month on it. Every Friday they bake the 12 matzahs that they put on the Shulchan. So the answer is, no, that was for the purpose of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavod. It's not for the purpose of Atiyah HaMishkan. The only malachas that can be derived from the Levah HaMishkan is those malachas that are needed for constructing the Mishkan. Not those that were necessary for the HaKrovah HaKrovah. Abdi Neidah claims this is the Machlekes HaKanam Rajeshim HaKrovah. It can only derive from Atiyah HaMishkan. It can't derive from HaKrovah HaKrovah. So what about Big Day Kuhuna? The Gemara says in the last paragraph in Sukkot that the Big Day Kuhuna, the uniform that the Bahan wore, are purchased. There were two different funds in the Beit HaMikdash. They had different bank accounts. The fund for the purpose of building the Beit HaMikdash was for Berakah Bayit money. The fund for the purpose of purchasing Korbanot Tzibur was Matzah HaShekel money. It's a completely different fund. You didn't use it from there, but you used Berakah Bayit, completely different genus. So the question is, which fund, which source of money, which bank account did you use to buy the Big Bitcoin, to buy the uniform of the car? So the Gemara says in the last verse in Scriptures that since the purpose of the Big Day Kuhuna is to be Makros Kabbanis, so that comes from the Tashekha money, from the Shulman Talishkin money. So Sura Kabbanis is Dina Kikabbanis. So the Aminazi claims that that perhaps is the Machlokes between Abiyachi and Rabbanis. Since the Big Day Kuhuna are not exactly Hakrobat Kabbanis, but both are not exactly Atheist Talishkin, it's in between. You have to make Big Day Kuhuna in order to be able to lead up to Hakrobat Kabbanis. It's sort of in the middle. So Rabbi Yehudi says that you cannot derive anything from the Ksiva, the Big Day Kuhuna. the only Stephen there was on a Koshim. And a Koshim didn't have to write words, they just wrote symbols. You might have. Did you see that Roshim is a Malacha Daraita? And the Chalim said, no, but Akiya Bigdikuda wasn't really Akrobat Kodron. It belongs to the category of Akiya Tanishan. But that's why he writes the Malacha Kodron. See, that's why the Malacha Daraita only applies when you write letters. Yeah.